From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
We are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable. Stakeholder Q&A part deuce carryover from last week. Got additional questions from the stakeholders. Definitely want to get out on the air. And shout out to the stakeholders who are participating in this exercise in the off-season for the New York Football Giants, the Big Blue Roundtable. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, the live stream for BleedBlueShow.com. Our episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, your Stitcher apps. Also, you can go to the podcast tab of BleedBlueShow.com as well. If you know, to stream the episodes right from the website in the archive section as well. But before we move on to the Q&A stuff and things around the NFL and all the other good stuff, previous episodes this week on the Bleed Blue Show, we had the Yankees dialogue on the podcast, the dugout. Right now, the Yankees are in Chicago. I believe it's raining right now. So they're trying to get 3 out of 4 in Chi-Town. Win last night. Nice win last night. And they needed a good bounce back win. So to knock on the mound. We discuss all that with the Yankees as well. But, you know, All-Star Week, almost the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. We talk all that stuff. Right there, episode, the Dugout Podcast, talking Yankees baseball. Chicago, Houston as well this week. And then coming back after the All-Star break, you got the Brewers and all that. So the Yankees podcast, the Dugout, here on the Bleed Blue Show. If you are a New York Rangers fan, the Ring podcast with Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. You can check out our episode talking New York Rangers. We talked the post-NHL draft. We had the draft picks. We had the trade with Stepan and Antti Raanta. Got an additional first-round draft pick. And our thoughts on the direction of the club, which I think is in a good direction right now with the Rangers. I think the Rangers are in a good spot because they're in the middle of in between having you're getting rid of somewhat of a nucleus, but you're retooling with younger players, younger draft picks. I like the direction where Jeff Gordon has gone with this, man. So we had that discussion on the Ring podcast, the Dugout, on Tuesday. That episode is also on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps as well. And also the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, we talked of the Fire Phil episode. What an episode that was. All the stakeholders who participated. Shout outs to Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks, Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. And the stakeholders, man, those guys that participated, man, great knowledgeable Knicks fans, passionate orange and blue Knicks fans. And we had a long dialogue on Phil Jackson and the bad 3 years with the Knicks. We talked about the summer league stuff. We talked about free agency. All that actually is starting this Saturday. Summer league, free agency period. All that stuff is also in the archives as well. So we are a carryover from last week's episode talking stakeholder Q&A. We thank you to the stakeholders who we didn't get to some of the questions last week, and we definitely wanted to shout them out. And we'll definitely go through the questions as they go. We'll bring on stakeholders as we can. The call-in number, 929-477-4171. Talking Giants football. We're going to part deuce on the carryover. And as a matter of fact, there was a couple more questions that came through since last episode, and we're going to try to squeeze those in. Let's bring on the G6. G6 is with us. He's landed on the tarmac. G6, what's going on, man? You want to answer some Q&A stuff from the stakeholders, Giant fans?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing much. How's everything? How's your week? We're about one more month out from training camp, but stakeholders, Giant fans, got a lot to say. And if you have anything to say on the feed, talking about stakeholders listening in online as well, definitely put it in your comments. We'll try to get those into, man. What about you, G6? Any thoughts on the NFL in general before we get to the stakeholder stuff?
Nah, you know, everybody's gearing up. I think it's refreshing to see, Marshall, Beckham. A lot of people are doing training at home, JPP. So they're not on the beach somewhere, man, sipping on the coconut. You know, they're training and continuing to improve and try to get better. So that's very encouraging, man. And you know, we're just looking forward to getting this last month out the way, man. Month and a half, whatever it is, and get back to some football, man.
All right, no doubt. Let's get to the Q&A stuff, and then stakeholders that come in will participate in the dialogue. We'll get them to answer some stuff too. So let's start off right off the top. Let's go to Mark. Mark said, I really like Bizanawadi, the right tackle. Not a huge fan of Bobby Hart. We kind of touched on this last week, but his question, do you think Bizanawadi starts day one? What's your thoughts? I think you answered this question last week. We will readdress this. What's your thoughts at right tackle? Who starts day one? If you had a guess, I mean, it could change, but what's your thoughts?
Right now in June, I got to say Bobby Hart, just because he's been in the offense for 2 years. I think this is his third year. And going into his third year, so he knows the playbook. You know, he's comfortable with the verbiage. So any rookie coming in, unless you're just extraordinary, and even if you're extraordinary, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott made a ton of mistakes last year. You know, I guess he's rookie of the year, but he made a ton of mistakes. So, I mean, even if you're talented, man, it's just hard to come in and take someone's spot. At certain positions, I think O-line is one of them. Not saying that that rookie can't take Bobby Hart, but he'll have to have an amazing camp in preseason. I mean, just straight domination, man. Where, you know, it pretty much looks like he's been here the whole time. Other than that, I think Hart got a couple legs up on him, man. With that being said.
All right, let me see. Let's get to the next question. Let's see. Maryland. Okay, Maryland says, hoping for a better year from Eli. How do you think he will do production-wise? So, question about Eli Manning production-wise. So, let's see. What did Eli Manning do last year? I don't remember right offhand. I know he probably was about 25-10 or 25-15 as far as touchdowns and interceptions. I know his completion percentage was definitely over 60%, but it was definitely not high 60s. I got to look at his stats. But Eli Manning, do you think – he probably did get over 4,000 yards. I don't remember him not going under 4,000. So, okay, I got it up. Eli Manning, 4,027 yards, 26 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. I was in the ballpark. I was not too far off. But, G6, to answer your question, do you think Eli Manning's stats go up? Down. I mean, this is a softball question from Maryland. So, what's your thoughts on Eli Manning as far as next season on paper?
It goes up, man. I mean, you bring in Brandon Marshall. You know, you get the rookie tight end that's pretty much another wide receiver hybrid guy. Shep's going to be better, and then you know, Beckham is Beckham. So, I mean. I can't see a decline unless Eli's unless he's declining himself. He should have a superb year, man. I mean, I think the O-line will be better. I think the running game will be better, and all those factors will help him have a awesome season, man. I can't see him taking steps back. Not this year. Not with the weaponry around him, man. There's no way.
All right. It's really hard not to say no. I mean, sometimes when it comes to questions like this, I always look at it like, what could be worse than what he did? And with all the weapons, the only thing I could think of is a freak pass rush where somebody missed an assignment and he gets clobbered and he actually misses the game, knock on wood. But other than that, as long as the line kind of holds up and holds their assignments, hold their lanes, he should definitely be at least where he was last year, if not, you know, definitely more. But at minimum, he should be at what his stats was last year. That's just being very lenient as far as his production wise. So I would definitely think he gets over 4,000 yards, no problem. I would hope, I would think he would get over 30 touchdowns. I mean, it's hard not to with all these weapons. It's hard not to. But the interceptions, true. I don't know. See, that's the I don't know about that part. The interceptions, he's kind of a gunslinger. He kind of doesn't give a fuck as far as throwing the ball, winging it. So, you know, that could be – that's the mystery. But everything else in the ratings and stuff, QBR and quarterback rating, I expect that to go with the weapons as long as everybody does their job. So I'm kind of in the ballpark with that. So, Jesus, yep, before yep. we go to on to more questions on the stakeholder Q&A part deuce, let's bring back a familiar friend to the Bleed Blue Show. We haven't heard from this guy in a while. I think this is Ed from the Big Blue Huddle. What's going on, Ed? How's everything? Big Blue Huddle.
Steve, how are you, man?
It has been a long time. What's going on, man? How are you getting through the offseason?
I know. What, I catch you either on Twitter or Facebook and haven't talked to your guys in dog's age. So I guess since the end of the season. So how's things? Guys excited?
Yeah, things are cool, man. G6, myself, stakeholders, we're getting through this Q&A session. We had the stakeholders inbox the Bleed Blue Show, tweet us, and all their questions to have a dialogue, put it on the audio. So let's go back to the last two questions. Two questions, and we'll bring on stakeholders as well. We'll start with the last question. How do you think Eli will fare production-wise? You think it will go up, touchdowns, interceptions, QB rating, completion percentage? How do you look at Eli on paper next season? This was a question from Maryland.
Well, you know, I think as long as he holds up as far as those two tackles hold up, Bobby Hart and Eric Flowers, you know, they did a lot of off-season work. They've worked on their bodies and worked on their strength. They're working on technique. If they can improve, I think that he's going to have a better time throwing the ball. I also would like to see that running game take off. So we have maybe Fluker gets involved a little bit. I do see the starters being Flowers, Justin Pugh, Richburg, John Jerry, I think may compete at some point with Fluker and Bobby Hart. So I think, you know, the thing that we don't really know is how is Fluker going to fit into this? I caught a little bit about a question about Bisnawati. I don't believe he's ready. So I think Bobby, they're looking for Bobby Hart to start. They're committed to those two guys. So they got to get the run game going. They have to protect Eli. He's got to get the ball downfield more. He's got bigger weapons. So he has bigger receivers. He's got a tight end now that, and he got Brandon Marshall. You have Red Ellison as a blocking tight end. You have Evan Ingram as a pass-catching, strong tight end who looks like he has the ability to block. So he has all of the weapons available to him. We have Paul Perkins coming back for his second year as a running back. Shane Vereen is healthy. You know, I think the other part of this is how will they stay healthy? You know, we go into a season, you think everyone's going to stay healthy, but they're not. You're going to have injuries. Last year, I think they played as well as they did for the lack of injuries. So I do think that Eli can have a very, very good year, very strong year. You know, they did pick a quarterback in the third round, somebody who's not going to compete this year. But this is a pivotal year, in my opinion, with Eli Manning. If Eli Manning struggles this year, there might be a quarterback competition next year. So the only competition is going to be is the third quarterback. And who would that third quarterback be? Is it going to be Geno Smith or Josh Johnson? Are they going to go with two quarterbacks? I don't think they should go with two quarterbacks because I don't think Davis Webb is ready to start if something happens to Eli. So I think that it should be Geno Smith if he's healthy enough. So does that answer your question, that question? You said you had another question. I came on late. I'm sorry.
I think those were the two questions. It was from Maryland about Eli's stats, and you answered the right tackle question. I think we're up to par right there. If stay right there, let's get on Mike Black and get his answers to the same questions. Mike, what's going on? Wellington Black Marriage joined with us here, People Roundtable Stakeholder Part Deuce. All right, Mike, what's the same thing as far as Maryland's question about Eli's production going up? What's going on? How's everything?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I think that his production will go up. But think about it like this. think about the state of our offensive line last year and then what he was able to do. So if he was able to do that, the way this line was kind of ragtag tied together, then I think if this line improves, he's going to explode. Remember, too, that Victor Cruz was not at 100%, and they finally got him out there after 2 years. And, again, you get Brandon Marshall in this place. You get Ingram at tight end, this hybrid tight end. And, again, Shepard, like a G6 at Shepard. Scotty Pree's going to be better with a year under his belt. Yeah, I see everything going up. I see his production going up. I see the run game improving. I'm glad that we finally ended this experiment with Jennings. And let's give it to the young blood. Let's get Perkins in there and get Darkwood in the mix. And let's let this offense go. I love the additions. And I just think this offense is ready to go. We have to improve, though, in the NFC East. You know, we cannot beat the best team in the NFC East twice and then turn around and lose to Washington and Philly. No, your template should be to sweep the NFC East. If you can't win in the NFC East, you'll never win a Super Bowl. So I think that if we give Eli, let's say we give him a 5-year window, if he wins a Super Bowl, I think he's done. I think if he wins a Super Bowl in 2 years, he may just hang his hat, you know. So I think we are loaded right now without any superstars or running back or any. I think we're loaded right now on offense to handle our business, and I can't wait for the season to start.
All right, thank you very much, Mike. Let's see, G6, I'm gonna throw two questions at you. Let's see, let's go to back-to-back questions, 2-for-1. So from Jashawn says, which wide receiver sleeper do you think will surprise people in camp? That is from Jashawn. That's question number one. Question number two from Miguel: what are the Giants' strengths in order by position on the field going into camp? I guess going into camp. So those are two questions on the table, G6. Jashawn, which wide receiver sleeper do you think will surprise people in camp? And then from Miguel, what are the Giants' strengths in order by position? I assume going into the season or camp. G6, what's your thoughts on that?
Wide receiver sleeper. I mean, before, and I still don't know if it's going to affect them at all. I'm leaning more towards Lewis. I was a few months ago, coming out of the season into the off season. I really thought Lewis had a lot of upside. He didn't have the year that we would expect him to have, but I really thought that he would have a good off season, good training program, this, that, and third. Got in a little bit of trouble, so I'm probably going to refocus that over to King. You know, I'm not a big fan of King. I'm just not, man. I need to see more. I know he had a couple of big catches during the year, but I just think overall, I think Lewis has the bigger upside. But right now, I got to say King. As far as priority over, best to worst positions on the team, obviously wide receiver I would probably say is one in my opinion. Cornerback's a close second. I don't know. Cornerback and DN might be neck and neck. D tackle third, or fourth, however you want to put it. I think the weak link on the team is still the offensive line. But I would say running backs, O-line. I mean, obviously quarterback. That's a hard question to just categorize because obviously Eli's Eli, man. So I'll say this. I think the best position right now is probably wide receiver. The worst position is O-line. You can kind of fill in between, man. Some stuff is obvious. Eli, the D-line, cornerbacks, it's obvious. Obviously, linebackers are down there with the O-line. So, safety's up there, pretty high. So that's my take on it.
All right, thank you very much, G6. Ed from the Big Blue Huddle, same two questions. Deshaun says, which wide receiver sleeper do you think will surprise people in camp? And question number two from Miguel, what are the Giants' strengths in order by position?
Well, first question, surprise receiver in camp. I don't know if he's going to be a surprise, but I think you have to take Evan Engram and you have to put him in that receiver class. He's going to get a lot of snaps. He's going to see the ball a lot. I think you're going to see Tavarius King getting a lot of snaps too. They're going to be looking at some of those guys like Roger Lewis, Darius Poe. They're looking at guys that for that sixth wide receiver position. So you have Marshall Beckham, Sterling Shepard. You also have Dwayne Harris is going to be on the team. I don't think he's going to be a cut. So you have that fifth and sixth receiver. So I think they're going to be looking at some of those guys to see who the fifth and sixth receiver is going to be. But I think the one is really going to surprise everybody right off the bat is going to be Evan Engram. What was the second question? Who's going to be the most possession receiver? I didn't quite get the question.
The question was from Miguel, what are the Giants' strengths in order by position? I guess areas like G6 said, the wide receiver is probably number one, with two is probably the D-line number, second, I think he said. But Miguel's question, what are the Giants' strengths on the team in order by position on the field?
That's a tough question. I think definitely the wide receiver squad has really been strengthened. The cornerback position, you have three solid cornerbacks, but we don't quite know who that fourth person is going to be, and that's a very important position. What about the safety position? We have Shepard coming back as a safety. We lost a couple of guys. We have Adams coming back. And we have Landon Collins. So you have Darian Thompson, Landon Collins. Matt Burhey is going to be competing for a job. That might be another position of strength. So I think I agree with G6. I think it's between those two to three positions. I'm looking at that receiver position could be the strength. The defensive line, you know what? I don't like the depth, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to replace Hankins. I think that the draft pick is not going to wind up starting. I think it's going to be between Jay Bromley and Robert Thomas. They're going to get snaps at that three technique position. So I think that Dalvin Tomlinson will work himself in. So I don't know what's going to happen with that defensive tackle position and what the depth is, because you know what? Odighizuwa, he hasn't even shown yet. So we don't even know if he's going to be a cut. So who's going to be the depth of defensive line? So I agree with G6. It's between wide receiver and cornerback. I'm going to sneak in safety over there. That's a possibility where that would be a strength also.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Ed from the Big Blue Huddle. Let's go to Wellington Black Mare. Same two questions. Deshaun says, which wide receiver sleeper do you think – I mean, which wide receiver sleeper do you think will surprise people in camp? And from Miguel, what are the Giants' strengths in order by position?
Okay, I'm going to have to go with Engram as well. Let's face it, the guy's a hybrid. He's supposed to be super quick, so I think maybe his speed is going to impress people or surprise people that guy is that fast. I think that, you know, there's going to be no sleeper in Brandon Marshall. We know what he brings to the table, but it's going to be Engram. And the second question, I think from the strengths of the wide receiver group is obviously the strongest group on the field that we possess. I like our defensive backs. Let's face it, Jack Rabbit is amazing in coverage. I mean, I've seen him do some things. You can ask Dez Bryant about Jack Rabbit. I don't think Dez has had a good catch since we acquired Jack Rabbit. So I love our corners. Coming back with the strong safeties, with Thompson finally coming back off injury, him, Adams, Burhey, all competing back there. opposite Collins. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome to get all these guys on the field. Like Ed said, though, let's face it, we will have injuries at some point. But we can get these guys back. If these guys had not got hurt last year, and I'm basically talking about Thompson, that really could have – we thought our defense was strong before. Wow, I can't wait to see what he's going to do this year to this defense and see how they play these guys and who they field. It's going to be amazing. So wide receivers, defensive backs, and I include the corners with that. And after that, I guess you got to mention quarterback. You got to bring in Eli. And after Eli, probably the DL. So if those four qualify for the question, then that's what I got.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me get a crack at this. Let me think. Which wide receiver is sleep? Who's a sleeper? I'm trying to think of somebody who's on the brink, like a Roger Lewis, who's kind of had a little off the field issue this spring or summer, whenever that was. Tavares King was definitely a guy who made the cut last year. So guys like that, maybe a Travis Frederick or somebody like Darius Poe, who was on the practice squad. And I know he has a lot of reps with Johnson and Geno Smith. And he's a guy who's a second year into the offense. He's probably somebody I think is going to try to make a case in preseason. I'm going to keep my eye out on Darius Poe, who played at University of California two seasons ago. He was a rookie last year. He made the practice squad. Everybody knows about Beckham Jr. and Shepard and Brandon Marshall and Evan Engram. I'm looking at guys like the fourth or fifth wide receiver down in the depth chart. I'm looking at guys who are going to try to make a case in preseason. I'm looking at guys like King, Frederick, what's the other guy's name? Roger Lewis Jr. I'm looking to like Darius Poe is probably a guy I'm really keeping my eye on. I think he has more access to the playbook, just like King and Lewis, but he's worked with backup quarterbacks, and you guys already know backup quarterbacks usually get most of the burn in preseason. So I'm going to try to see if he's going to make a lot of plays and try to fight for make a case to try to even get a last wide receiver spot if he can. And as far as the strengths on the team, obviously it's the wide receivers. I'm going to say defensive line as a unit is probably third. So second will probably be cornerbacks and safety. So I would say wide receivers, safety. If Darian Thompson is healthy, I'm going to say wide receivers, safeties, cornerbacks, defensive line in that order. That I think that's the strengths on the team in 1 through 4. And then you could just roll the dice on everybody else. I'm going to go back to the G6. G6, we haven't heard from her in a long time. Tasha from the Bronx. I'm glad she got the time to check in. And she usually goes in. She's I'm reading it right now. I'm sick of this mediocre offensive line. We're not going anywhere unless we get that fixed. So what is our best line in your opinion? So she says, what is our best line combination in your opinion? And part B to this question, which lineman could we not lose? Like, for instance, which lineman, if he goes down, we can't afford to lose him. So the question is, left to right, offensive line. I mean, I think that should already be said. We'll answer the question anyway. And also, which lineman we cannot afford to lose? Tasha from the Bronx. Shout out to Tasha. G6, Tasha from the Bronx.
Right. Obviously, Flowers at left tackle. Pugh at left guard. We know who the center is, I mean. Rich Bird. I think it's going to be Fluker and then Hard. I just think John Jerry, he's garbage, man. Let's just be honest. He's bum juice, and he just is not starting caliber guy. Good swing guy, backup, emergency in a pinch. Yeah, I can dig it, man. You know, somebody get nicked up, need to come out for a few blows. I'm all for that, but I think that's why he doesn't crack the starting lineup at all. None of those rookies will this year. Like I said, unless it's just they just come out and have a a stellar training camp preseason. I think the knowledge of the playbook just supplants Flowers, and I mean, it plants the men strongly in those positions, just knowing that playbook, man. That's a leg up on any rookie we bring in. I think as far as not being able to lose one guy, I think when you saw Pugh go out last year, it affected Flowers. It affected the whole left side of the ball, man. Flowers was actually having a pretty good year. Those first couple of games, man, he was cool. We was like, he done turned it on. He's gonna have a good sophomore year, man. Pugh got hurt, and then his game, Flowers' game, just went to the crapper, man. So I think Pugh. I know most people probably say Richburg, but I'm gonna say Pugh just because of the support and stability that he brings to Flowers in that left side of the line.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, G6. Ed, from the Big Blue Huddle, Tasha from the Bronx says the same question. I'm sick of this mediocre offensive line. We're not going anywhere unless we get it fixed. What is our best line in your opinion? And also, who could we at least afford to lose?
Okay, you're asking me, Tasha, thank you for the question, but you're asking me what I would do if I was the head coach. I would have Justin Pugh at left tackle. I'd have Justin Pugh at left tackle. I would have John Jerry compete with Brett Jones at left guard. You want somebody who can block well and protect Eli on that blind side. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the blind side not being what it was and how, you know, left defensive ends are very competitive, and you need both sides. But I like people that can pull on that left side. John Jerry can pull. I like Brett Jones to compete with him. Weston Richburg is center, of course. I'd like to see Fluker at right guard and Eric Flowers at right tackle. Those two guys are so strong. That running game on that right side, they would absolutely dominate. So and I like Justin Pugh. I think his feet are better. I don't buy into the short arms. I think he played well when he had to go in at left tackle. And I also think that the biggest person you cannot afford to lose, I agree with G6, is Justin Pugh, without a doubt.
All right. Thank you very much, Ed from the Big Blue Huddle. Mike, same question for you on the offensive line, left to right, and who could we at least afford to lose?
That's a toss-up. It's got to be between Pugh and Richburg. If you lose a guy in the middle, I don't know who you slide over. But like G6 said, Pugh basically held that line together. He was solid. And he's a linchpin between the tackle and the center. You got to have him in there. He's strong. And like I said, we don't know what Flowers we're getting this year. We know he's going to be better, but we don't know how. We don't know if he's just going to look better, if he's improved his technique, if he's going to get out with those defensive ends, or if he's going to stand his position and let the guy run by him. So I want to say if you got to put a line together, Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Brett Jones in there, you know what, Jerry? Jerry. We're doing this Jerry Hart dance, and at some point, I think G6 was saying that these guys have an advantage because they're up to game speed, and you getting a couple of rooks in there, and them seeing these lightning fast defensive ends from all over the league, that they may not be ready for that yet. But if they're going up against our defensive guys in practice every day, they'll get a good idea what game speed is about and what these hellacious defensive ends can look like. So I don't know if DJ Fluke is going to be ready right off the top. So just for that reason, you're probably going to have a Hart and a Jerry in there. So if those five, you go with Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Hart, and Jerry, or sub out Hart with Brett Jones. That's probably what I'm going to call it.
I think I have two answers, and I think it's a The two answers I have, what I think they will do, and then there's the what I think they should do. What I think they will do, obviously, is Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, right guard probably be Jerry, and then right tackle will be Hart. What I think they should do, I'm still thinking it's Flowers. The left side is fine, but right side, I probably interchange Fluker and Hart. It makes a match with that and actually allow Bizzle and Wadi play that in camp. So I'm kind of up in the air, right tackle, as I was the last couple of weeks. But to even go beyond that, I like what Big Blue Huddle Ed said, and I was always a fan of Pugh at the left tackle. But it's the business politics of it where I don't think the Giants were going to allow Air Flowers to go another year and put him on the right side, although I would agree with him as far as the ideal situation. But you never know what could happen, what they say or game plan or as far as how they're going to do it. And that's, of course, and I definitely believe the lineman we cannot lose is the center, is Weston Richburg. I mean, even if Pugh got hurt, we've seen players get plugged in and they're feeling okay, and you have a little bit of a depth as far as filling in with other, you know, left tackle, left guard, right tackle. But the center is really that big anchor we could at least afford to lose. So shout out to Tasha from the Bronx on her question. Got us to think a little bit here on the Big Blue Roundtable. Question from Nicole, G6. This is an NFC East question. Do you think the Giants will win the division, and who is their most competition? So G6, NFC East question. Giants win the division, and who is their most competition within the division?
That's a hard one, man. I don't know. Like, it's just, that's a hard question without seeing how everybody's gonna, how every team is gonna bond and you know, be cohesive. Right now, I have to give it to the Giants. The only reason I won't give it to the Cowboys is because they're secondary, man. Their secondary took a big hit, and then they're still losing players. They just lost another line, I think, a DN today on a four-game suspension or this week. So Irvin was a starter for them last year, good player for them, man. So they lost him. He's gone for the first four games. Gregory's gone. They lost a ton of players in the secondary. If it weren't for that, I would put them up there. I think their offense is well-tuned. They know what they like to do. They do it well. They got the best or one of the best O-lines in football. So I would say us and then them. You just never know, man. Washington lost DeSean Jackson, but they brought in Terrell Pryor. You don't know how that's going to mesh. Their defense, it's a question mark back there. I feel like as long as D'Angelo Hall is playing back there, it's always going to be a question mark. And then add in Josh Norman, he's crazy. He's mental. So I think they can always be toasted up, especially by us. Philly, good young talent. I just don't think they're going to have enough to put it together to make a run at the East this year. They might be scared in a year or two. Maybe two or three years, man, they might be scary. But I got to give it to us. You know what I'm saying? I think Dallas is a close, close second. I just think their defense is going to let them down in a lot of close games coming up this year.
All right. Ed, same question for you from Nicole about Giants winning the division. And which team within the division is the most competition?
Well, it's a tough question to answer going into into preseason. Oh. So I think the Giants can win the division. And I believe it was Mike that said, whoever wins the division games is the one that's going to wind up winning, obviously. I like the Giants to win the NFC. Will they stay healthy? Will these teams stay healthy? I think Washington may pull up also. I think it's going to be tough to win 11 games, let alone 13 games like Dallas did last year. I think it's going to be very close. But I believe that the Giants have the strongest all-around team right now. And then I believe the Cowboys in Washington, we'll have to see what happens. I think that it's going to be tough to get 10 wins in this division. And the Eagles could be a surprise, so I don't want to discount them. So that's what I think. I think that the biggest competition is going to be Dallas and Washington, but I do believe that the Giants will win the NFC East if they stay healthy.
All right, Mike, what about you? From a question from Nicole about the Giants, who wins the division, and also who's the most competition within the division?
Okay, I think the Giants will win the NFC East basically because of our improvements to the defense last year and then the improvements to the offense this year. And I think we've made the most improvements over a two-year period than any other team in the NFC East. So we got basically in 1 year we had basically a playoff-ready defense, and we've only added to that by getting our hurt guys back. And the most competition, it's going to be a toss-up. The G6 said this last year, I never forgot it. He said, when those Eagles wear those black uniforms, they give us hell. I don't know what it is about the black uniforms and the Eagles, but no matter how the Giants improve, the Eagles always give us a tough game. The Eagles always win one of those games from us, no matter what. We have a hard time sweeping the Eagles. But also, let's face it, the Cowboys, we beat them with their best team in years. Their two rookies set records last year, and we still beat them both games. At the end of the day, they got an axe to grind with us, and they haven't been swept by us in a minute. So they're anxious to get that win, at least one. They think they should have won the first one at least. Driving late and ran out of time, poor clock management. And at the end of the day, and also Williams running out of bounds. But at the end of the day, I think that Williams staying inbound. But at the end of the day, I think that Giants will win the NFC East. I think the most competition will come from either the Eagles and the Cowboys.
All right, to answer the question, I agree with Mike. He just said exactly what I said as far as competition, and it doesn't change. I think the Eagles, for some reason, is going to give us the most competition, especially for what they did defensively, improving on that side of the ball with drafting the corners, another year with Schwartz. And there's something about that rivalry that they're always going to keep the Giants honest. The Cowboys, I know they lost Ron Leary to the Broncos and Lyle Collins with the right tackle. Not that their offensive line was already great. They already got three Pro Bowlers. I think they'll figure it out on their offensive line. The defense, they lost all their secondary. I think Washington offensively, G6 mentioned about Jackson going to Tampa Bay, but they added Terrell Pryor, who I think is a very underrated receiver. But I think the Redskins, I think this division is really close, man. I think two teams will probably finish with the same record, and I think it's going to probably be a one-game difference between first and second place. I hate to answer that question right now because I really need to see the body language, the flow, the chemistry during camp to really give an honest answer, and probably have to readdress this question sometime in August. But right now on paper, and I hate to be biased because I try to be objective about my teams, but I would have to say the Giants. But the only thing I really do worry about with the Giants is, you know, some of the schedule they have this year, some of the stretch of games they play is really brutal. And if they could get through some of these games, right off the hand. I know they play the Kansas City and Washington, Oakland, Dallas, Philly, Arizona. It is a gauntlet, those last seven games. And I don't care what type of team you got. If you ain't mentally tough and running the ball honestly, and that's what I really need to see is kind of the way the offensive line gels and how they run the rock. If they could do that effectively with Perkins and whatever running backs they have back there sharing the load, and they could do it effectively and set up the pass, yeah, I think the Giants could win. But that's a gauntlet, man. It's not that the Giants aren't talented. I just think they have a tough stretch of games, especially after the bye week. And that's my only concern. But to answer the question right now, I would say Giants. Eagles give them the most competition, and I think the Cowboys right behind that. Let's see. Who is next? Tremaine. Tremaine says, shout-outs to all you guys. I think we should not underestimate Shane Vereen and Sean Drone. I think they are going to surprise some heads along with Shane Smith. That's more of a comment than anything. G6, if you want to put your two cents real quick, it looks like he's just giving a comment about the running backs. How do you feel about, I guess, the core of the running backs and the fullback, or Shane Smith, or anybody else who's fighting for competition with the H-back position? What's your thoughts, G6, on the comment by Tremaine as far as his thoughts on Vereen? He said, do not underestimate Shane Vereen.
You just got to stay healthy, man. I've been saying for 2 years now that Shane Vereen could be much like Westbrook in the West Coast. Westbrook was like for Philly with us in that system. I think he still has that skill set. He has a little bit more skill. He has a different skill set than Perkins to me. The comparisons they both can catch or whatever like that. But I think for some reason, man, Vereen just he's a little bit more versatile in some ways. I don't know what it is. Perkins, I'm just not sold. Y'all know that. I mean, I'm just not sold, man. I wouldn't sleep on that rookie. I'm telling y'all. I think he's from where is that rookie from? Running back. It's not NC. Clemson. I know it's Carolina. Yeah.
Clemson. Ballman.
Right. We got it. I wouldn't sleep on him. Got a lot to learn. I think, they're not going to put him out there unless he can block and protect the quarterback, but I think he might turn some heads in preseason. I think, obviously they're going in with Perkins, but, hey, I'm not sleeping on Vereen, man. He just got to stay on the field. That's his only problem. He just got to stay on the field and be able to produce consistently, and I think, hey, he'll be a big part of this offense. I mean, hey, I'm not sleeping on him, man. Fullback-wise, is one of those fullbacks coming back this year from last year? What was the guy's? I think one guy got hurt.
Well, you're talking about Nikita Whitlock? No. And then you're talking about Will Johnson? No.
Okay. So I think they brought that other tight end. He can play that position, I think they said, right? So I think they know what they're doing. I think they know what they want the offense to look like as far as the backfield go. And, I say let's get to it, man. It's going to be a good competition come preseason. I don't think Perkins has anything locked up.
Ed, what's your thoughts as far as Tremaine's comments on confidence meter on Shane Vereen, Sean Drone, Shane Smith? A lot of S's in these running back names, man.
I think, Tremaine, great question. Great question. You know what? You're going to think that G6 and I talked about all of this before we got on the broadcast, but I agree with him. The health of Vereen, if Vereen can stay healthy, he's a player. And the other guy that we want to watch out for is Wayne Gallman. I totally agree with Wayne Gallman. He could be a player, up-and-coming player. We're going to see what he can do in training camp. We're going to see what he could do in the preseason. Sean Drone, he was brought in. Could he be effective? Yeah, he could be effective. He could do a lot of things. And the Shane Smith question, it's a good question. Are they going to bring in a fullback? They didn't have a fullback last year, and their running attack was horrible last year. Is it going to be Ellison? Or is he going to play both roles? Is he going to be an inline blocker? I think that they'll try to play him both. I would like to see Shane make this team. I would like to see them come in with a fullback. But this running back position, I think there's a lot of sorting out to do. I know that Coach McAdoo, he gave the rock to Perkins. He's the number one guy. But I also agree with G6. Again, I'm not completely sold on this player. So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered for running backs. And how effective will the offensive line be in opening up holes and blocking for them so they can get to that second level and we can see what they can do. I think that the position to watch out for and how this is going to play into the offense is the tight end position. How are they going to utilize Rhett Ellison? How are they going to utilize Evan Engram? They got him lining up all over the place. He could play the slot. He could play the Y. He can be in a two tight end set. The Giants had a lot of 11 formations last year. everybody criticized, that we talked about at the beginning of the year. Everyone jumped on the bandwagon about 11 formation, meaning one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. But I think how they're going to utilize Evan Engram, it's going to make the difference. So I think you're going to see a lot more. It's not going to be dominant, but I think you're going to see one running back, two tight ends, 12 formation. You may see a 22 formation, two running backs, two tight ends. And I think that they need to take advantage more out of the backfield with Paul Perkins, with Shane Vereen, with Drone. They have to get those passes out to those players either in the flat or dump them off, you know, and see what they could do in space. So the key with the running back position is how they could work in the tight end position and how they can come and have an evolution of this game plan from where they were last year. Because and Patty Train has said this on my podcast, that clearly last year they had to alter the offensive game plans. They had to throw out certain plays that they couldn't do because of injuries. And they were counting on at least one of those fullbacks to make the team. It just didn't happen. So I think this is a very good question. I'm very interested in that position.
All right, Mike, what about you as far as Shane Vereen confidence meter from Tremaine? And the running back Shane Smith, or the fullback Shane Smith, Sean Drone, guys like that.
Well, great points, babe.
Is Mike there? Is Mike there? I think we lost Mike. All right, we'll come back to him.
I'm here.
You there? Okay, good. Okay, but
yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Steve, I think that again, great points made by it there in G6, of course. Perkins, we haven't seen him start and play full games, so we don't know what we're going to get out of him. My questions are with Gallman. I watched the Alabama game, and they pretty much dragged him around like a rag doll. He's not that stud back. I was thinking that he would have been starting a D1 team. Maybe I didn't get this. Maybe it's just a series that I saw that Alabama just ragged him, and you know, in the NFL, he's going to get more of the same. I think Vereen is going to be effective, like G6 said. If he can stay healthy, I mean, let's face it, we didn't have him half of the year. This is a guy's got to find a way to stay on the field. He is our most effective back. He can do everything. Our most versatile back. He's got the experience. He's got good speed. He sees the holes well, but he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. And so with him, they give us another dimension. I feel bad that we don't have those fullbacks. Let's face it, with a line like we were fielding trying to run the ball, we needed a Whitlock. I mean, I like that guy, and it's sad that we don't have him. I mean, they lined this guy up a defensive tackle. He was a stud, but again, change of philosophy, change of personnel. So those guys are out, and let's see what we do. Let's see what we do. But I do like. I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna ride with Perkins. We innings 2-3 years back there. He showed flashes, but he didn't get done, and he should have got it done. So let's see what Perkins can do, and with the Green back there, and you know what? Let's see what Dark was holding on to. What the hell is he holding on to? So let's see what these guys can do, given the chance.
All right, let me be real quick, and then we'll get to some final thoughts and incorporate a question with that. But to answer the question, I think if Vereen can stay healthy, I think very underratedly, with all these weapons on the outside, and if Eli does swing passes, with Shane Vereen should have a lot of space, a lot of open space if he stays healthy and has the opportunity. So that's just an interesting point from Tremaine to even bring that up. Shout out to him sending that comment in, and we get our thoughts on it. Jesus, we're going to go around for final thoughts, but I want to incorporate this last question, and if you can put it with your final thoughts as well. Chris, another Chris says, which team offensively or defensively will give the Giants the most fits this season on the schedule? And if you could incorporate that in your final thoughts, please do so.
I don't even know the complete schedule other than the East, man. I don't know. I mean, I got to say Dallas. That comes to mind. I think we play Tampa. I got a feeling Tampa's going to have a pretty good offense this year. I think this is the year Winston turns the corner. They got weapons. Yeah, Deshaun Jackson, a couple of other little pieces. I think their offense, I think they got a little something cooking down there. Like I say, Dallas, though, whew, man, they're a juggernaut. You can't deny it, man. Got to contain Elliott first, and then we can build around it, but they still seem to score points. And who else is on the schedule? What division we playing?
We got the AFC West and NFC. That'll be the NFC. NFC West.
NFC West.
Yeah.
Whew. We got Kansas City, right?
Yeah, that would be Raiders, Kansas City, Broncos, Chargers.
Both of them teams, Kansas City Raiders, that's going to be a good one. Offensive, as far as their offenses go, we get to see Andy Reid again, have some great battles with him. He kind of knows the Giants a little bit. NFC West. Seattle's going to always be a good game. Arizona got a good offense. We had to see how with the quarterback play, how that look or whatever. It's kind of all around. I can't really pinpoint one team that I could say, man, I'm scared of these guys. I just can't. There's not one team, man. We're playing a lot of good offense next year, and we just have to see how this thing goes.
Right, G6, man. Thank you very much. Ed, real quick, quick take on which team offensively, defensively gives the Giants the most fits, and your final thoughts as well.
Okay, defensively, I'm going to say it's the Broncos and the Seahawks are playing both of those teams. Also, the Eagles always played us tough defensively. Offensively, I'm looking forward to that Raiders game. I think that's going to be a great matchup between the Giants and the Raiders. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs. I just love that Raiders game. It's at Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not at Oakland. It's at L.A., right? Well, where the Raiders
here? Oakland.
It's going to be in Oakland.
They're still playing in Oakland. Okay. So it's West Coast game. I like that game. So, final thoughts. I'm looking forward to training camp. Are you going to training camp with Steve? Are you going to training camp this year?
No, I'm going to Aruba, man. Hell no.
Okay. So maybe we'll hook up a training camp. I'll have Rich there. Brian's going to come down for a game. Can I mention a little bit about our podcast? Is that okay?
Sure. Why not? And same thing with Mike. Real quick.
Okay.
We're running out of time.
Okay. You can catch us on SoundCloud at the Big Blue Huddle. I'm at Vet at SoundCloud. We did an off-season wrap-up with Patricia Traina. She's a senior editor and beat writer of Inside Football. That was a really good podcast. You can catch us at GiantsFans.net on our website. And we talk football 24/7, 365 at the Big Blue Huddle. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Thank you very much. Mike, you too. Same thing. Shout outs. And Mike, your final thoughts as well. Who gives us the most vision? Please shout out your stuff too.
Yeah. I think Ed's peeking in my window because I was thinking the same thing. That Raiders-Giants game is going to be a monster, especially their offense against our defense with those stud backs they got and that line they built through free agency. That's going to be a nice matchup. The quarterback got his money, Mr. Carr. So that's going to be the matchup, the game I'm going to see as the most exciting game. Of course, you know what? There are no more exciting games than what happens in the NFC East. So I'm going to also go with the Cowboys and the Eagles are two nemesis, and we got to show up in these games. We have to show up in these games. So those three games there intrigue me the most. We have to show up. We have to listen, we look good on paper. Now we got to look good on the field. My show, Ice Cold Sports Show, every Friday night, 9:30, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 646-668-2718. We talk all sports, football, boxing, basketball. Come through. We talk big blue. We bleed blue. That's what we do. So come through and enjoy.
All right, shout-outs to the guys, G6, Ed, and Mike. The only game, honestly, the real game on the schedule that really worries me, and I hope I'm wrong, so I'm going to write it down. I'm going to mark it down. This is June 29th as we air this episode. That Oakland game, that game really worries me, man. There's something about that game, and I think it's a Sunday night game, and it's on the West Coast, and it's later in the season. I hope the Giants are focused and they don't lay an egg. I think that game really worries me the most on the schedule. I mean, the division games, it is what it is, but it's definitely outside of the division. It's that at Oakland game on Sunday night. I don't like that. On paper, I don't like it, and I don't like the fact that that – crowd is going to be hyped and all that, and the Giants go west. I don't like that. All right, we got to go. We're going to get cut off. G6 Ed and also Mike as well. BleedBlueShow.com. Our episode is always on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Our video episodes as well. And also, shout outs to all the stakeholders all week long on all of our episodes, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. Bleed Blue Show, man. The stakeholders had a great week discussing sports. And shout outs to the E-Table sending in your questions and your comments. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.